Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Y'all going too fast. Y'all going too
fast. Left-wing lunatics seize this beautiful city. Shut the loudmouth thugs off. Let me hear Tony. Tony has some mellow singing, because I'm live here in San Francisco, broadcasting to the nation. I happen to be live at KSFO Studios, which I do very seldom. It's a little too quiet. You can turn it off. Now, that's from another era. Welcome to the program. I see that Harriet Tubman will be put on the $20 bill, replacing Andrew Jackson. I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Which woman, in your mind, should be featured on the $20 bill? Which woman is more distinguished than Harriet Tubman? Which woman would be a more inspirational pick for the $20 bill than Harriet Tubman? Now, I recognize that this is a controversial question, but therefore, I will ask it because I had no... Did you have any say in who should be on the $20 bill? Did anyone poll you? Did anyone do a national poll again in this emerging dictatorship under Barry Obama of who you as an American would like to see replacing Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill? Of course not. It was done by a group of left-wing fanatics who Barry surrounds himself with, the left-wing sorority, of whom there are five members. They decided Harriet Tubman. But is that the national choice? Is that the national consensus? I have a nomination or two, because no one knows who Harriet Tubman is, I'm sorry to tell you. Oh, yeah, we learned about it in elementary school. I'm sure she did great work for her time. But how about someone who could inspire all young women to do something other than be a social agitator? Well, that would be Amelia Earhart, the woman aviator. Everyone knows her. What do you think about Amelia Earhart? Or how about Sally Ride, the astronaut who died in that terrible explosion? I think it was in 87. Shouldn't they be on the $20 bill? Or are there any other women you would nominate? Why don't you put Hillary Clinton on the $20 bill, the woman who would be president, the woman who shouldn't be running for the presidency but is? Or you could put Kim Kardashian on the $20 bill. That would certainly be the America of today. All right, that's a dud already. A shot in the dark didn't work, because I don't really want to get into Syria. You think I'm going to play Cruz and Trump again? You haven't had enough Cruz and Trump? How much more do you... I know that the fanatics, the purists and the unpurists, the impurists, I guess those who vote for a Cruz are the purists, because they're continuously losing. That was an amazing speech by Cruz, where he said Donald's afraid of him. He reminded me of a fighter who just got his guts kicked out. He gets up off the ring after going to the hospital and comes back and says, "The guy who knocked me out is afraid of me." That was the greatest speech of the day. Yeah, Trump really looked frightened last night, right? 855-407-28. There's a lot more coming on the Saturday. I'm warming you up. I am giving you a jigger of gin as though you were a turkey ready for the slaughter. How many times I've told you that story? I met it from a colonialist in the years I spent in Tonga and Fiji. There were still old colonialists left with arrogance that you never could believe. You don't know what arrogance is until you meet old colonialists. And I met him in 69-70 in the islands. They still had the imperial mentality of old Britain. I found them to be charmingly funny and inappropriate, by the way. They were so inappropriate. So the guy told me that he learned from an old Britisher in his years in the 40s, in the New Guinea Highlands, when he was chasing the cure for malaria. He said that the way the old Britishers would slaughter turkeys is they would get them drunk first, and then when they're wobbling around the yard, they would slaughter them. I said, "Why would they do that?" They said, "Well, the flesh was more tender." I never forgot that for some reason. So number two of the question is, which is San Francisco. You know, today is a marijuana day here. These sickos who want to destroy everyone's life are having a legal pot day today. Thousands of people will descend on San Francisco's Golden Grading Park to smoke the evil weed for the annual 420 celebration in what may be the last year marijuana is illegal in California. Now, I don't think marijuana should be criminalized. I've said that for years. But I want to warn you against the dangers of marijuana, both socially, psychologically, and physically. It is far more deadly than tobacco smoke, which I have shown you, but you don't want to know that. So I'm going to ask you not about marijuana, but this, which is marijuana horror stories. I want you to call the show, 855-47282, so people who are brainwashed can hear how marijuana ruined your life. That's number two. So the first question is, which woman do you think should be featured on a $20 bill? What would your pick be? B, how has marijuana horror stories? That's number two. And then I want to get into things such as, why is San Francisco so liberal? How did this happen? This was not always a sick city, you know. It wasn't always ruined like this, where bums defecate in the streets, where illegal aliens run rampantly and shoot tourists and don't go to prison, where congresswomen and congressmen and senators have their field of fun at the public expense. I'm all into laissez-faire lifestyles. Oh, yeah. I'm all into do as you will, as long as you don't bother me. But you see, that's not what San Francisco really is. The face of San Francisco is free. The face of San Francisco is live and let live, but it's not live and let live, it's live and let die. There is no tolerance in San Francisco for any opinion other than the fanatics of the left. And so it's not really a free city. It was when I came here. I got here in 74. My second child was born here at Kaiser Hospital. I'm as much a part of this city as anyone is. I may not be the Catholic old guard, but I am definitely a part of this city's history. And I am the only local host who ever made it nationally, incidentally. Make a note of that one. There are those who've tried and failed after a year or two, but I'm the only local radio host, meaning the only local media personality who has a national following. Herb Cain never had a national following, and yet they still talk about him. So I can tell you how this happened, how San Francisco became so uber imprisoned in its own liberalism. If you want, maybe it's boring. But it is a city that's very hard to comprehend unless you live here. If you want to talk about that, go ahead. Make my day. If you're one of the Catholic old guard, you want to tell us listeners around America what the city was really like before the vermin invaded the city from all over America and they dragged their chains around screaming, I am free, I am free, I am free, as their needles fell out of their pockets. We all like wildness and freeness, don't we? We're all into permissiveness, but there is no permissiveness here. I think I made my point. We can move on. 855-407-282. So I've given you four stories. Each one has fallen dead like a lead balloon. Not really. I don't know. I'm sensing, I have a fifth sense, sixth sense of what audiences want to hear. The audiences today are so restless, it's a nightmare. They don't know whether they want to hear Trump and bash him or hear Cruz and bash him. They don't know what they want to hear. They're like a group of spoiled children whose Ritalin has been withheld by the government, the radio audience today. They don't know what they want to hear. So it goes back to what I learned when I started in radio. You want to hear it? That's the poet. He was a degenerate, the junkie. No. William Burroughs, a naturalist, one of my heroes, wrote in his naturalist books, if you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite. I have found that to be true. In other words, if a host is interested in what he's talking about, today they call it passion. That's a new word. Oh, as long as you're passionate about it. That's the new watchword. Just like out of box thinking. Anyone who says they think out of the box doesn't. Anyone who says they're passionate about something isn't. But if you're really interested in what you're talking about in radio, people are going to react to you. Do you know that? That's what it comes down to. They can tell when you're mailing it in. They can tell when you're a fraud. They can tell when you're reading a script. They can tell if you're really enjoying it. If anyone gets in the radio and says, I'm having more fun than anyone should be allowed to have. Well, I created that in the 90s. I was the first one to coin that phrase, but that's nothing new about that. Speaking of which, there's something else I was going to do today. I have a lot of things. I have a guest on in the next hour on dogs, humane economy, on animals, humane treatment of animals, even when you eat them, how to be humane. What are you supposed to do if you eat an animal to be humane about it? I have to think about that later. I'll tell you what I did this morning on the way to the city. on the way to the live KSFO studio here. I picked up a copy of The New Yorker from August 3rd, 2009. The Real Michael Savage, Kalefa Sena on a Shock Jock's Unexpected Side. I still consider this the finest analysis of me as a performer ever written. And I looked at it, I said, you know, I wonder what it looks like today reading that article. How many people even know it was published? Well, I do, and I read it, and you know, some of the paragraphs and sentences in here are astonishing, and I hope to get to that during the next hour or two on the Savage Nation. Because he called me Michael Savage, the party of one, in this, the author. That was again stolen by someone in radio, as though it was his, but no, it was actually published in The New Yorker. And it was written by Kalefa Sena, calling me a party of one. Even in the world of, he writes, even in this world of born-again refuseniks, Michael Savage, he writes, is an anomaly. A heretic among heretics, nearly as contemptuous of his fellow radio stars as he is of President Obama. He called Glenn Beck the hemorrhoid with eyes. He calls himself a genuine independent conservative. And apparently it's an effective one. His daily broadcast, The Savage Nation, is one of the most popular talk shows in the country. And so he goes on. And I'm not going to just read the stuff that trumpets how great I am, but I want to read some of the literary writings that this man did. I love, you know what the greatest honor I've had so far is not winning the Freedom of Speech Award? It was being banned in Britain. Because that indicates how sick that nation had become. How it went from a truly free nation, the land of the Magna Carta, to the exact opposite, the land of imprisoned human beings. And within in this article, you know, I'm going to go back for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's 18 minutes after the hour already. I have about a minute to tell you this. When I was a youngster coming up, my heroes were writers. They were musicians. They were jazz musicians. I can name them all, but I don't want to rattle them off just to impress you. Writers. And any one of those figures, those artistic figures, some scientists made it, who were profiled in The New Yorker, I thought had achieved godhead. I thought it was the highest honor you could have at that time to be profiled in The New Yorker. So when they did it, they did profile me, I was really knocked out by it. I didn't know what he was going to write. It came out okay. But what I'm getting at is they always did a caricature of the people that they profiled. You know, those cartoons? So the artist did one of me that I love to this day. I have reprints of it all over all the houses I live in. And I look at it, and I say, you think pretty good. I look gnome-like in it, but I like it. It's so good. And I can't show you the picture, you know, of me. But you can look it up online, or you can buy it. I'm not selling anything. It's not selling you. And now, by the way, a special offer for me is copies hand-signed. I'm not selling you anything. I try not to. It's tawdry to sell things on radio, unless they're a paid advertiser. Yes, I'll tell you about Government Zero. Yes, I'll tell you to buy Teddy and Me for Mother's Day when it's appropriate. But I'm not going to spend minutes on it. So look what they're calling on already. You hear what I got already calls on? Look at this. I'm so hungry. I'm dying already. It's only 20 minutes into the first hour. All I'm thinking about the whole ride in is the Chinese food I'm going to have during the show. The minute this break hits, I'm calling the restaurant. I'm having Ryan go get me. I can't wait. It's not good, though, to eat on air. I get it. Maybe I should skip one day of eating on the air. I asked why, what's your most recent San Francisco horror story? Did I ask that question? No, I didn't ask that. I asked, what woman should be put on a $20 bill? Who would you nominate? Number two, marijuana horror stories, how it ruined your life. I didn't ask you this. What is your most recent San Francisco horror story? If you live here or you visited here, did you have a horrible experience? The ones that the tourist brochures don't write about. I think that's a wonderful opening. I hope you'll be here when I come back from this commercial break. If not, you're going to miss me as I tell you about what I ordered from the Chinese restaurant right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. There's Hillary screaming about women are being kept down in America. I love it. She looks like she's wearing a maternity outfit now. Who dresses these people? Where do they get this clothing from? And there's Bernie. They stole it from him, or the machines didn't work. right out of Bolivia, 1949. No, it wasn't the Clinton machine that shut down the machines in New York. No, not at all. So Harriet Tubman will replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Not at all diminishing what Harriet Tubman did. But who would be more inspirational to future generations of American girls to look up to and say, well, that's a woman who belongs in the $20 bill? I think that's a great topic. No one would take it on because everyone's afraid to touch it because Harriet Tubman is African American. So you say, oh, you can't even talk about it. Why can't you talk about it? Do we live in a free society? Do we live in a society where people are allowed to have any voting anymore? Not according to Ted Cruz. No. See, the same thing applies here. Ted Cruz says delegates pick the winner in a few states, and therefore that's good. The people shouldn't be heard from. Well, it's the same with picking someone for the $20 bill. What if they put out a list, and you could write someone in? Who would you write in on the list of who you'd put on a $20 bill? I think it's a great topic. It's a socially interesting topic to me. And marijuana horror stories, how it ruined your life, and blah, blah, blah. And I'll read from that, and I'll read from this, and that, that, that. Then we got a guest, and the Hunan food is on the way. I'm salivating. I'm not going to eat it on the air, I promise you. I'm not going to do that. But I am so hungry, I'm going to faint. So everyone's afraid to talk about the Harriet Tubman thing. They pick someone's like a third rail. If you say one word about it, they're going to put the R word on you, and I don't mean Republican. So let's have some callers out there of who you would put on a $20 bill if you had the choice. If there was an election, who would you nominate? That's all. Next case. Again, a break the minute I start. See, it just shows you. A, I'm loquacious. I'm in a good mood. I'm not dragging. Mark of a bad show is when you're dragging and the breaks don't come fast at you. When they come fast at you, it means you're on. It's good. I have names here. I'm not going to read them to you and give away the show. We got one open line at 855-407-282. Look at this. Lindsay Lohan is converting to Islam. They let that. They let a pig like her into Islam.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
That's what they needed, a pot in. Celebrating pot in the city of dysfunctional people. That's what they got to do is teach the children that it's a wonderful thing to do. Look, a new study came out about the dangers of marijuana, and it's not put out by Big Tobacco, but you're not going to believe it. Most people don't want to believe what truth is anyway. Smoking marijuana, heavy pot users face as many midlife troubles as those dependent on alcohol. That's just a minor point about marijuana. The physical damage that marijuana does to you is overwhelming. I've read you chapter and verse on the smoke and the toxins. Don't call me because potheads don't want to hear it any more than progressives want to hear about the damage that they've done to the society and the world. So I see that Lindsay Lohan is converting to Islam. If one woman could destroy a religion, it would be her. Why would they let her in? Aren't there any standards? Can't they prohibit her from joining? Can someone prohibit her from destroying a world religion like this? Look what she did to Christianity single-handedly. And then there's the issue of the women on the thing, on the bill. I mean, I'm going to give you some names that no one's calling about of nominations for the $20 bill. And I'm being serious. Let's say you want to be politically correct and it has to be an African-American woman. Fine, if that's what you're choosing. Why Harriet Tubman? Why not Condoleezza Rice, the first African-American Secretary of State? Answer, because Condoleezza Rice was not a community organizer nor an agitator. There's the answer. You could put Michelle Obama on the bill, the Golden Fleece. So you could put her on a gold coin, Golden Fleece Award. Or if you want to, you know, glorify a woman, you could pick Dianne Feinstein on a specially minted lead coin, pushing a shopping cart to symbolize all of her business dealings with shopping carts in China and at airports around the world. Or you could pick Nancy Pelosi in a specially minted zinc coin, holding a silicon chip symbolizing her excellence in solar panel selections. I mean, there are other choices. But let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Roy, line 3, WJR. Who would you nominate for a woman on a $20 bill?
Well, you stole my second one, Condoleezza Rice, but I will go. I was thinking Barbara Bush because her husband was a president and her son was a president. And she...
Yeah, she is the power behind the throne, right. I don't particularly think that her brand of republicanism is particularly... attractive in this day and age. I think that her liberalism has so watered down the Republican Party that we have the mess we have today, but she was certainly the woman behind two presidents, if you want to put it that way.
Just saying her resume is pretty big, just with that, you know. But Condoleezza Rice.
But in all seriousness, Condoleezza Rice is the first African-American Secretary of State. Why didn't they pick her?
Yeah, she speaks seven languages and is a concert pianist, too.
Well, those are reasons that they didn't, that's why they didn't pick her. She's too qualified. They need to pick an agitator instead of her. Thank you for the call. Let's move to the other topic for a quick second, marijuana damage. Marijuana horror stories. Line 4, Michael W., YAB in Mississippi. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to tell all the listeners out there that marijuana is definitely dangerous, and it irreparably harmed my life. Came from a small town in Mississippi with nothing to do, and we, at 13, 14, 15, just hung around and smoked pot all the time. Ended up going through rehabs and in and out of the county jails and eventually prison. And it's infinitely more dangerous than people give it credit.
All right, well, let me take the other side of the coin. What if marijuana had been legal and you didn't get put into county jails? Would you still be saying it was a damaging drug?
No, I wouldn't be saying it was a damaging drug, but that's because I would be complacent in whatever part of life I was in right now. And I think that marijuana's most dangerous thing is it makes you believe that you're okay. Even though you could be homeless, hanging out on the street corner, doing...
I see, but everything's cool. In other words, it gives you a sense of being cool and okay, even though your life has been destroyed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, listen, you win the prize of the best marijuana horror story of the day, and I'm sending you Government Zero. Please leave that gentleman. I guess he hung up. Oh, he's still in Michael, YAB in Mississippi, yeah. So I don't know if you want to do this or not. Here's another caller. Let's try David on line two. David, who would you put on the $20 bill other than Harriet Tubman?
Either Frances Perkins or Eleanor Roosevelt.
Now, why Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, based on my reading of that period, she was practically the co-president. She did so much in place because FDR couldn't get around, and she was an activist, I feel. And she,
but now you would be, you're on the liberal, David, you're on the liberal side of the aisle, is that correct?
Not really, no. But
not really. So that's an interesting, hold it, that's an interesting call. That although you're not real, let's say you're a centrist, but you still think Eleanor Roosevelt was a great woman who should be on the bill, irrespective of your politics. First of all, everyone knows her name. That's an important point unto itself. And whether she was liberal or not is almost not the issue. The issue is she was quite prominent in running that administration, is what you're saying.
Based on my understanding of history, yes. I would think of her as a...
Well, I wouldn't... See, what I asked the Republican woman I know the question. She said Eleanor Roosevelt right away. And she's very conservative. And I said, why would you choose her? I said, she was a social progressive and probably, let me put this in a family show way, interested in females, let's say members of the same sexuality, it's alleged. She said, that's fine. It didn't matter to her. But she thinks she was, in a way, a great woman.
Very articulate, very well read. I think she was also...
Me or Eleanor Roosevelt?
Both of you, but Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, come on. Are you having a good time today? Are you enjoying the show? You feel a different energy in me?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I've been locked too long in a certain studio. What do you want a book of, Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
Government Zero.
Why do all these people want Government Zero and not Teddy and Me? They didn't buy it yet?
I don't
know. Right, you got to figure it out. If you have millions of listeners, and let's say you sold 200,000 books legally with no one buying them, they actually went to bookstores and bought them, that leaves like 1.8 million people who didn't buy it, so I'm not shocked when you think about it. 855-407-282 is the phone number. You know, when you say Eleanor Roosevelt, I think of the song Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles. Why does that? I do an immediate jump cut. Do you have Eleanor Rigby? You'll see why I'm saying it. You say Eleanor, I say Eleanor Rigby. Hey, by the way, I was asking for this song. Guys, did you find it for me? There's a TV show on HBO called Vinyl. And Mick Jagger's son is like a star is born, this kid. James Jagger is a phenomenally great actor. He's a twin for the father. Twin, like a twin. And I don't know, is he really playing the guitar in that? Does anyone have that song he does for the last segment of Vinyl? No one knows what I'm talking about. The show was a dud. I loved it. I can't wait for the next season. I'm televisioned out. Two of my favorite shows are over. I don't know what to do on Sunday nights anymore. I used to watch Vinyl, and then I'd switch and watch Billions. And it was a fine night on a Sunday. It was like Ed Sullivan for me. I had something to look forward to on Sunday night. Nothing, a blank, a dead zone now. There's nothing on television. Everyone talked about Girls. I watched it last night. It was the most nauseating show I ever saw in my life. Where did they get the most unattractive woman on earth to be the star? I don't know. Is that why it's popular? I have no idea what that show is about, nor why I should watch it. 3 minutes I had to turn it off. It's like a bad... Everything is bad. It can't be Mother Teresa, by the way, Bob, on WABC. Because it's an American woman has to be on there. So far as I know, Mother Teresa was born in India. Calcutta, I believe. I could be mistaken. Where am I in time-wise? No break yet? George on WABC Line 1. Who's your nomination to be on the $20 bill?
Jeanette Rankin.
That's a big name. I don't know who she is. What does she do?
She was the first woman elected to Congress, and she was instrumental in passing the law that allowed women to vote.
That's a big deal. How do you happen to know that?
I'm a history nut.
That's pretty good. Okay, you're very smart. Who else would you put in on the short list other than is Harriet Tubman in the top five in your mind?
No.
What did Harriet Tubman do?
Well, I mean, you know, okay, the slavery angle, I understand that. But if you want to stick with American history and culture, you have to pick somebody who was pivotal in the history. And Jeanette Rankin was pivotal.
Okay, so when I came on the air, I put up two names. One was the famous aviator, who virtually everyone kind of knows. Wouldn't you rank her as in the top 10 of people who should be on a $20 bill?
Yes.
Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, Florence Nightingale would be another one.
Oh, right. Right. Here's a zinger for you, for your history books. I wrote it up this morning on the way into the studio. You ready for it? You know, Friday's Earth Day, right? You're supposed to say yes. You're supposed to be my straight man. Okay. From Earth Day to Girth Day in one generation. From Earth Day to Girth Day in one generation. Is that funny or what?
Yes, it is. Michael, can I say one more thing, please?
Wait. Did you get the joke or not?
Of course I did.
Okay, because I don't know. 90% of the listeners don't know what the word girth is.
Well, on Earth Day...
They can't even spell it. If I gave a test, how do you spell girth? Only Indians here at 3 minutes would know how to spell it in a spelling contest. That's a second zinger. What's on your mind? What were you going to follow up with?
This whole business about changing the $20 bill or the $10 bill, it's just another thousand cut destruction.
Yeah, it's Obama kicking us in the throat on the way out the door. That's right. That's right. He has to revise everything in the country until he's through, you know. He's got a little time left. God knows what he'll do next to destroy the society. I don't know what he's doing this for. What after change the bills for altogether? What if I have a stack of $20 bills somewhere in the house? I got to spend them now? How do I get rid of the old 20s? By the way, anyone listening to the show, if you have Jacksons in your house, let's say you're in an illicit business, and you want to get rid of them, I'll give you a dollar for every 20 before they become distinguishedly extinct. Am I going to be able to spend them forever even after they're out of circulation? They become worth more or less if you're a historian. George?
They'll be worth more.
They'd be worth more?
Yeah.
Oh, like the old $2 bills. The old $2 bills. Are they worth more than $2, a $2 bill? What are they worth?
They're worth about 12 to 15 bucks if they're uncirculated. But the same thing like...
No kidding.
Gold certificates. If you have a gold certificate, they're worth a small fortune.
No, I don't have any of those. I'm thinking about what I do have that might be valuable. I used to collect coins as a kid. I was a coin nut. You know that? I really was. I never collected, like, paper currency. I collected dimes, I collected quarters, stuff like that. I must have the collection somewhere. What if I have a rare? I don't even know where they are. I lost all of my collection. You know, I used to have those dollars that you put in in those blue books that you put in coins? Are they still making those?
No.
Silver dollar. I have loads of silver dollars. Who cares? I know kids don't do that anymore. Kids don't even collect stamps or coins. All they do is look on the iPhone for the answer to everything. Poor kids, they don't play anymore. They're afraid to go out of the house. All right, George, do you want government zero or Teddy and me?
You know what? I'll let you pick either one because I would cherish either one.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Teddy and me to you. It is now 12:47. I am at KSFO Studios live in San Francisco, broadcasting out to America and the larger world via the Internet. And during this break, I am going to have Chinese food. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation, broadcasting live from San Francisco. And today they're celebrating marijuana, of all things. Could you imagine how sick they are? That's still so cool. It's so cool. Oh, you're so cool because you smoke dope. You're just so cool. That's their biggest thing. And we're talking about other stuff, like who would you put on a $20 bill to replace Andrew Jackson, assuming it has to be a woman from America. And then San Francisco's extreme liberalism. I asked you, what were your San Francisco horror stories, if you visited? What happened to you that you won't read about in a tourist magazine? Tom, line 4, WABC. Go ahead, please.
He's gone. He just dropped.
He dropped. Terrific. A build-up and gone. I'll tell you what he said. He was on a business trip in San Francisco, propositioned by a man dressed as a woman. That's unusual? Isn't that what you came here for? It's like instead of going to Thailand, you go halfway to Thailand. You don't have to go to Thailand stopping here. If you're from the East Coast, why go to Thailand? Why do you need to go to Phuket? Just go to Market Street. You're in Phuket. God, that's Chinese food so good. I shouldn't talk about it. Everyone's cutting the back on their food. My favorite restaurant, the guy puts cabbage in everything now. One good thing about this Chinese restaurant that I go to is when you get takeout food, no matter what meat you order, it's not in there. So it's like vegetarian. So even if you're not, like I should be vegetarian for my health, but I really like meat for the brain. But thank God this guy is so cheap. I'm eating basically cabbage and rice right now. There's like hints of chicken in it. The minute you order takeout, they can know you 40 years. They're not giving you any. Because once you're gone, you're gone. It's a score. But I needed hot sauce. So I went into the radio refrigerator. No, just a quick side note. Because the guy forgot to give me hot sauce because that's an extra penny. So luckily there was hot sauce in there. I don't know, it could have been put in here in the 1940s for all I know. It's like I could get tomaine from it, but I needed it. Now you want me to get serious? We can get serious. I am serious. This is serious. Do I have to sound serious and beat you up in order to be serious? Or sometimes you can be very serious by being humorous. Isn't that possible? Look at the serious topics I've taken on so far. Okay. What woman should be featured on a $20 bill? That's serious. I did it with humor. How has marijuana ruined your life? I did that with humor. Why is San Francisco so left-wing? That's humorous. How has pot destroyed your life? That's humorous. So those are some of the topics. When I come back, see, no one's in. I can sense now. It's after the primary. They're already distracted. Why are so many children in the streets, I want to know, wherever I go? Is there no school left in America? Everywhere I turn for the last 3 weeks, I see children. I went to school. I was off in the summer. Now everyone's off all the time. There's another holiday.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Donald right now is terrified. It's the reason Donald won't debate, because he can't defend his policies. He doesn't have any policies to bring jobs back to America. You know, what does it say that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders
enough already
are really
with the Ted Cruz. You know, he's a guy who just came in third in New York. He got slaughtered. Even a schlep like Kasich beat him. And he's giving a speech that Donald's afraid of him. You hear this? How can you trust anyone who gives us such a bald-faced lie like that? This is like a guy who just lost a fight, got knocked out there to take him out on a stretcher. And a day later, he gets out of the hospital, puts on a clean suit, and says, the guy who knocked me out is afraid of me. He's afraid of going in the ring with me again. Come on. Grow up, you know. You want us to trust you, Ted. Start telling the truth. What's his motto? Jobs, freedom, and security. Tell me what that means. It's like Animal Farm. War is peace. Love is hate. Arbeit macht frei. What do you mean jobs, freedom, and security? What does that mean? My motto has been borders, language, culture. Is there anything ambivalent or ambiguous, rather, about any of those words? I said borders, you know what that means. I said language, you know what that means. I said culture, you know what that means. What does jobs, freedom, and security mean? Nothing. So, I'm sorry, I can't warm up to Ted Cruz. I wish I could. Now give me the litmus test. Would I vote for him over Hillary? Yes. Of course I would. I'd vote for Kasich over Hillary, but that's not going to happen. That's a landslide. If it's Cruz versus Hillary, it's an 80-20 job. If it's Kasich versus Hillary, it's 95-5. If it's Trump against Hillary, it's a close one. It'll be decided by about a million or so illegal aliens that Obama tries to turn into citizens overnight. That's all. So I asked a bunch of questions in the first hour. This show is not an imaginary thing coming to you on your filling from Mars. It's the Savage Nation coming to you live from KSFO Studios in San Francisco to the world. It's 8 minutes after the hour. I have a number of questions up in the air, and I don't want to repeat them. I'm just going to take callers and then move on to other stuff, okay? So let's go to line number six. Jessica on WMAL, make your point, please. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael, I want to know, and excuse me if this is too personal, but I would like to know why you don't support marijuana, and specifically medical marijuana, considering that Trump does and has been very vocal about doing so.
Well, first of all, I'm not Trump. Does that answer part of your questions? I was around long before Trump was running for office. I've been on record with this issue for a long period of time. And that goes to my background in pharmacology and ethnobotany. I also know the medical effects of marijuana. They're not all healthful. Do you know that or not?
No, I guess, okay, I agree with you whenever it comes to, you know, the zombieing effect, the lack of motivation.
No. Let's talk about simple stuff. The toxicants found in marijuana exceed those in some areas of tobacco. Are you aware of that?
If you're talking about someone who's on their deathbed, like, say, a cancer patient, why would it matter?
You keep changing the subject. We're not talking about someone on a deathbed. I would say give them heroin if you have to. If someone's that sick with cancer, I'd shoot them up with anything. Any street drug you could find if it was legal to bring it into the hospital. I'm not into suffering. Do you understand that?
Right, but what if it's a more long-term situation like epilepsy or something that's not necessarily going to kill you?
Very good. So you're talking now about something else. Now you are talking about genuine medical marijuana usage as opposed to recreational usage, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm specifically asking about medical marijuana. Recreation, I mean,
So now we're going to medical marijuana. You had me confused. When have you heard me say I'm against medical marijuana for real illnesses? Never.
Never.
But there's the rub. How many people go to a shyster doctor today who will give them a prescription for heroin if they wanted it? Oxy, whatever you want, some shyster doctors will do it. And they, oh yeah, what's your illness? Oh, well, say you have arthritis, next. I have migraines, next. I have epilepsy, next. And they go out and they get medical marijuana. I'm not talking about people who are scamming the system just to get high. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about real patients, and I didn't realize that you had a pro view in that sense. I thought you were anti.
Yes, sir. I'm a medical expert in this area of pharmacology. especially botanical pharmacology. It's one of my specialties. Long before I was in radio, I was researching in this area for over 20 years. I'm very knowledgeable about it. I've written books on herbal medicine, on homeopathy, etc. So I'm very aware of the fact that there are beneficial effects. But I would ask this question. If you need the tetrahydrocannabinol and other cannabinoids for pain management, why must you smoke that poison?
You mean aside from like taking a painkiller pharmaceutically?
No, why don't you take the cannabinoids in a pill form?
Well, I think that is an option for medical patients.
Well, fine. So who would oppose that? Nobody. So I want you to distinguish between the recreational use of marijuana and the real medical use. And I hope that answers your question. I'm going to send you Teddy and me. You sound like a young person. Are you?
And I love Teddy. I will be thrilled to get that book.
Jessa, are you under 70? Are you a young person?
Oh yeah, I'm 28.
I know. Just kidding. You'll love Teddy and me. You're such a nice person. I hear how nice you really are. See? Now you're getting a free book for being so nice. As my father had a little sign in the store, don't go away, man. Just go away. I love that sign. He had such crazy signs in those days. You remember those signs that guys had with finished basements and you grew up in New York or the East Coast? There was a thing called a finished basement. I grew up on the other side of Union Turnpike. Trump grew up in the upper middle class, detached houses in Jamaica States near Cunningham Park. He went to the New York Military Academy. I took the Q44A to Jamaica High School in the slush. I'm not complaining about it. But the point is, there were guys who weren't rich, whose fathers had little houses, and they finished the basement. They call it finished basement. They finished it with knotty pine. And some of them went so far as to invest in an actual bar. They built like a bar. My father wouldn't do it. Because they never really entertained like that. They weren't into drinking. They're much more straight. Like if they had a dinner, it was like a holiday to do with a religious thing. But the thing is, I love the guys who had the finished basements. I love Knotty Pine. To this day, I like going to a motel with Knotty Pine in it. Would you believe it? It brings back memories. Some of you remember Petite Madeleines. I remember the smell of Knotty Pine that's varnished over. To me, it's like Kasha Varnishkas in its own way. But the thing is, I like Knotty Pine, especially varnished Knotty Pine, in seedy motels. They're still left. You can't get them in a Quintera Inn. You can't go to a Holiday Inn and get a Knotty Pine room. But somewhere along the highway, somewhere in America, on these back roads, you can still find, right, a little inn, a little... You know that it's beautiful, with the window that you can pick up still. You're not locked in. And stuff like that. I once went to a hotel in Mexico. Forget about what I saw on the mattress. You talk about a vacation from you know where. I'll never forget it. My son said, Dad, we're going. I said, I don't want to go. I hate vacation. No, I got you the top room. It was in Cancun. Oh, since what I learned what Cancun is, I'm lucky we got out alive, what Cancun has become. So we all flew down there. He got me because I'm so picky. Top room, penthouse overlooking the ocean. What could be wrong with that? I'll tell you what could be wrong with it. You're happy, Dad? Lovely. I love it. I hear the ocean. Beautiful. No one will bother me. There's no one next to me. 10 minutes later, I'm calling the front desk. I pulled back the bed cover. I don't know what it was, an instinct. I have an instinctual thing about it. I'm a germaphobe. I wanted to see what was in there. I pulled back the bed cover. Nothing wrong. Then some intuition told me to pull back the sheet. Blood all over the mattress, dried blood. I said, this is the end of it. I called the desk and said, yeah, what's wrong? I said, there's blood all over the mattress. They said, you're in Mexico. What'd you expect? I said, come on. You don't expect me to sleep. They said, it's dried blood. What are you complaining about? It's long dried. Whoever was shot in there, they hauled him out. What are you complaining? They didn't change the mattress. I'm telling you, that's why I don't go anywhere. That's the truth. All right, that's a true story. So from Earth Day to Girth Day in one generation, any topic I would say is fair game, including who would you put on the bill. And I'm reading from the New Yorker, I'm reading from Teddy and Me, I'm reading from this, I'm reading from... You want me to get serious now? All right, buckle down. Buckle down. Give us real politics. Really lecture us on politics and prove you really know what you're talking about. All right. How about this topic, trade treason from Government Zero, just to show you I know what I'm talking about. Page 258, trade treason. Obama and the Republicans worked together, including Ted Cruz, and passed the TPP. Even though people like Nancy Pelosi oppose TPP, Donald Trump is the only candidate who has openly spoken about trade and wants to level the playing field. So I'll read you from page 258. Robert, I have a minute or two here. Yeah. To show you how serious I can be. There is a trade deal this traitor in the White House has been trying to push, and the Republicans have supported him. They're all traitors. This deal is such a sellout for America that even Harry Reid opposed it. Of course, I'm talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, a 12-nation free trade agreement that our beloved dictator has decreed he kept completely secret. It was so secret that even Nancy Pelosi opposed it. Those lawmakers permitted to look at the deal had to go into the basement of the building where the documents were hidden and were not allowed to take notes with them or discuss what they read afterward. I'm not making this up. As Politico in Europe reported, it's like being in kindergarten, said Representative Rosa DeLauro, D. Connecticut, who's become the leader of the opposition to Obama's trade agenda. I call it trade treason. And then I wrote this, for those of you who don't know who I am. Page 259, Government Zero. As far as I'm concerned, Mitch McConnell is one of the worst Benedict Arnolds in America. He said the bipartisan effort would help grow opportunities for our constituents. What he meant was the lobbyists. The only opportunities that will result from the TPP are those pushed by the Better Business Bureau and those few multinational corporations that will benefit. Now, you can read the rest for yourself. Many of you have the book, Government Zero. It's in the Chapter Zero Business Sense. But I wanted to inject that. The rest of the chapter talks about selling out STEM workers with H-1B visas. That's something Facebook knows a lot about. And I call it a big zero for the American economy. So if you're into serious, read it. It's that simple. Who would you put on the $20 bill seems to be the most popular topic of all today. I think people love that one. And marijuana horror stories and San Francisco horror stories, the kind of stories that don't make it to the tourist brochures. When I come back, we'll take calls on all these topics and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. People are still calling on that one thing of which woman should go on the $20 bill because Obama's pushing Harriet Tubman. So I had said if it must be an African-American woman, I don't know why it must be, but let's say that's what you wanted. There are other choices, and I said Condoleezza Rice would be a choice. She was the first female African-American Secretary of State. Colin Powell was the first male African-American to be Secretary of State, but we're talking about women. Why must you go so back to slavery unless you're trying to push again the narrative that America is a racist nation? Don't you see what he's doing to this country with every activist, how devious it is, how much he hates this country, how much he can... I get worked up, and I try not to, because the man is a hateful monster. But you see, most people are so stupid and naive, they don't even see it. They say, oh, what's wrong with putting a woman on the bill? Well, on face of it, nothing. And they say, what's wrong with putting a black woman on the bill? Oh, nothing. But when you look into why he picked Harriet Tubman, it's, again, to push the narrative that America is a racist, evil nation. This is a furtherance of his hatred for the country. But all right, go ahead. Live in your own world. Go smoke pot and think everything's fine. Oh, I had a nightmare of a dream last night. I'm almost afraid to tell it. I told it to a friend, and he said, don't tell it on the air. So I think I'll tell it on the air. It was about Donald Trump. I don't know. No, should I do it? Maybe it's a warning. I'm very intuitive. I mean... And I hope these dreams are nonsense, okay? Just put it out there. I'm at a rally. Donald Trump is there. We start to walk away from the rally. I never met him, by the way, outside of that one time in Mar-a-Lago once. Walking away from the rally, and a very large man comes up to us and wants to talk to him, and his bodyguards surround him. Now, of course, he keeps walking. This is because of the Fields incident with that the girl reporter, you know, how close she got. So now they know not to let anyone near him. So in the dream, they surround him. And one of the bodyguards grabs this guy by the neck. And I could see the bodyguard closing his eyes and meditating on how to squeeze more tightly to control him. The guy is a certifiable monster. He throws the Secret Service agent off him in his dream now, the nightmare. And then the other guys try to do something. He hits them all or kills them. I don't know what happened. It's a nightmare. The next scene is I'm in the back of a bus, and Donald Trump's on the right side of the rear seat. I'm next. Next to him is a woman, a young lady, his daughter. And next to her is me in the back. And on the bus comes the monster. He got right on the bus. He came right on, and he comes right to the back of the bus. And he looks at us, and you know he's a murderer. And no one could control him, like a Frankenstein. And I say to him, can I leave here? Don't think I jumped up and tried to strangle him and play Boy Scout now or Navy SEAL. I said, can I leave here? I wanted to get out of there. I didn't want to get killed. She says, yes. I said, can I take the young lady with me? He says, no, she stays. And the dream ends. Isn't that a horrible dream? It really is. It's like, why am I dreaming about this? I know why. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the interpretation. I'll be both patient and Freud in one. Because now that Trump has been seen to be the putative guy who's going to win and run against Hillary Clinton, the whole country sees that, even those who have tried to stop him in every way, put up every roadblock you could imagine. Now that they see he's seriously liable to be president, it's going to, in my opinion, the establishment's going to move from rhetoric to something much worse. That's how much I distrust them, and that's how much I fear them. I believe the establishment is totally evil. If they were willing to launch us into a war in Iraq on false premises just to make billions of dollars on fake contracts, and that you can thank the Republicans for, do I have to finish the paragraph, or have I said enough? Oh, you got the picture. Good. Yeah. Arbeit macht frei. I get it. When I come back, the book is The Humane Economy, Animal Protection 2.0 by Wayne Pascal. He is the president of the Humane Society of the United States. I think you'll find it interesting because we all love animals, even those of us who eat them. The trick is to treat them humanely, even if you're eating them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
No, you know, welcome back to Savage. You know I'm an animal guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. And whether it makes me a hypocrite that I eat animals even though I treat my dog well, I don't know. Let you decide that for me. But the thing is that we have humane laws virtually all over the civilized world about the treatment of animal, even the humane treatment of animals that are to be slaughtered. We're not living in the dark ages anymore where animals are tortured and tormented, right? Well, wrong. Joining us right now is a man who knows the inside story of it, Wayne Pacelli. He is the president of the Humane Society of the U.S., and his book is called The Humane Economy. Wayne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm glad to be with you. Glad to be with such an animal lover.
Wayne, what is the book about?
The book is about our human relationship with animals, and specifically how business is getting on board with animal protection, that businesses in our culture have to reflect our values. And that opposition to animal cruelty has become a universal value. Every state in the nation has felony-level penalties for malicious animal cruelty. Yet animals are built into the business models of so many companies. And we're seeing a revolution with just earlier this month, Walmart, the biggest grocer in the United States, selling 25% of all groceries, is stipulating now, over time, is going to phase this in, that all the eggs sold at Walmart have to come from farms that raise the hens in cage-free environments. 120-plus companies have made that declaration in the last 6 months.
How in the world are they going to be able to feed a nation with eggs in such a way when we all know that factory farming is the reason we have such an abundance of food in the country?
Yeah, well, it's true. It has produced abundant food, but it's come at a terrible price. I mean, mainly for the animals. In these cages on these factory farms, the animals are immobilized. Now, I don't care if you're a vegan or a vegetarian or you're an inveterate carnivore, not to allow animals to move with a pig in a crate where she can't turn around or a hen in a cage where they're jammed together shoulder to shoulder is a moral problem. And I think all these businesses have looked at the economics and they said, listen, the price differential is de minimis. It's negligible. It's almost nothing.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
I mean, a cage-free hen, eggs from a cage-free hen are going to cost about the same as the caged up animal?
Right now, there's a price differential in the marketplace because the supermarkets know that consumers will pay more for the cage-free stuff, but it doesn't really...
Yeah, I search the... I always look for cage-free and no antibiotics. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a few cents more. Wayne, I want to ask you something else. The biggest abuser of animals on Earth, in my opinion, are the people who are slaughtering elephants. I've given a ton of money to those who are in the anti-poaching world. It's one of my great... great interests in life. It's reached such a point that we have to pay people to go hunt the poachers with, these are ex-SEALs who have to go into a military situation to stop the poaching. Do you think the elephants will survive the next 10 years?
Well, I write about this in my book, Mike, and I say that you can shoot and kill an elephant only once, but you can watch it countless times. I mean, think if you kill an elephant who's 20 years old, that elephant can live another 40 years. The economic potential of that animal is so much greater keeping him or her alive. These African countries, the greatest resources that African nations have are the wildlife, the giraffes, the elephants, the lions. If they're not saved, we can kiss so many of these countries' economies goodbye because that's...
Why? Wait, you mean because of tourism? Because of tourism? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And that's why so many of these leaders of African nations are burning ivory stockpiles to say that we're not going to tolerate these poachers. And they're arming wardens, and they're really engaging in fights with these poachers. And, Mike, as you know, so many of these poachers are involved with Al-Shabaab and Lord's Resistance Army. They are terrorists. And they're financing their terrorism by killing elephants. So you have an intersection again of animal protection with other values in our society, such as fighting terrorism and really kind of maintaining national security in these countries.
Well, I understand this much better than people would imagine because I've been involved in the anti-poaching effort for a long period of time. We also give a lot of money to Chimp Haven. Tell the American people, Wayne, if you will, about the treatment of chimps in laboratories in America. Where has that gone these days?
Well, this is a great advance, and it's also chronicled in my book, The Humane Economy, that last year we worked with the National Institutes of Health, which is the biggest funder of medical research in the world, and we also worked with the Fish and Wildlife Service to get chimpanzees all listed as endangered. Last year, all invasive experiments have ended in the United States, and we were the last country in the world doing it. So now your...
Wait, you say, hold it. Wait, I missed that. All invasive experiments with primates has ended? Is that what you just said?
Chimpanzees. 800 chimps who were in labs last year. No more experiments. It is now forbidden under federal law because the chimps are now listed as endangered. And the National Institutes of Health, under Dr. Francis Collins, the director of NIH, ended the use of government chimps in experiments. And now there's a process of moving these 800 chimps to sanctuaries. And Chimp Haven is the National Chimpanzee Sanctuary. It's building new facilities to accommodate more of these chimps.
Yeah, well, I've donated a lot of money to them, but I won't go into that. People don't know that part of me. And they say, gee, you're a political conservative. How come you're an animal rights activist? To me, they go together, don't they?
You know, it's a conservative principle to keep what you've got. It's also a conservative...
Thank you.
It's a conservative principle also to fight against the misuse of power. This is a misuse of power when humans lord over animals in cruel ways. We can really treat our power as responsibility, or we can treat it as life. Mm. And I'm for responsibility.
That's beautiful. That is, you know, Wayne, that's beautifully put. Is that phrase in your book, The Humane Economy?
Book, yes.
No, I love it. So how many years have you been in the animal movement?
I started an animal welfare group when I was a college student, so it's really been 30 years. I've always loved animals. I always hated the idea of people being cruel to animals. And once I learned about some of these abuses, I decided I didn't want to be a bystander anymore.
Okay, so here's the paradox. You know, I'm an omnivore. I eat all foods. I tend to eat certainly less animal products than my father, rest in peace, did. And that generation was all meat and potatoes, and it was assumed that was best for your health. For health reasons, people have shifted away from the meat diet largely, but we eat fish, we eat chicken, many people. Others have become vegans. Wayne, I remember this famous story. Vegetarianism, per se, was becoming very... It was voguish in the 1850s, I believe, in England. And there's a famous story by a British essayist, whose name I forget, who said he was considering becoming a vegetarian because so many famous people were becoming vegetarian. And he said the waiter brought out the tray of fish at the Gentleman's Club, and he took the cover off it, and then he sliced the fish open. And inside, he said, lo and behold, inside the fish's belly was, guess what, another fish. And he thought, if a fish is good enough for a fish, then a fish is good enough for me, and he decided not to become purely vegetarian. How in the world does a person who wants to be somewhat humane to animals still live with himself if he's eating animals?
I think, you know, we don't have to have perfection in life. I mean, my metric is progress. We take steps to make things better. We're never going to live in a way that doesn't affect the lives of other creatures, but we are intentional about it. And even reducing your meat consumption is dramatic. If we raise 9 billion animals a year for food in the United States, 9 billion with a B. If we just reduce...
9 billion?
9 billion.
9 billion? Wait, does that include fish, or does that mean land animals like chicken and pigs and cows?
Includes the fish, the aquatic species. That's just land animals. It's about 35 million cows, it's 100 million pigs, and it's just about 9 billion chickens, and then a smattering of...
Oh, that's overwhelming. That's a horribly large number.
Average American consumes 30 animals a year. Each person who eats a regular American diet consumes 30 animals a year.
Moo.
Which is a shocking number.
I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty right now. I have to go to a religious place right now. You know, sometimes I think about it, Wayne. I think about the amount of animals that are being led to slaughter every minute. Sometimes it overwhelms me, the thought of the pain and the suffering and the... I know people think I'm soft inside, but it's pretty overwhelming. Wayne, I know a guy who's a former Green Beret. I mean, he's always going to be a Green Beret. Special Forces, paratrooper, medical doctor, great musician, great man. And he said he won't eat an animal anymore. He won't even go fishing and hunting anymore. Because he said the idea of life has become so different to him after all the years of being in combat and killing people, I guess. He can't even stand the thought of killing an animal. Would you believe it?
Easy for people to mock the idea of people being sensitive to animals, but I think it takes great strength. So, Mike, I think you're a strong person for caring about animals. You know, the strong picking on the weak has never been a noble exercise. It never will be. And I think that, you know, any of us who really have a rational mind, go to a slaughterhouse, go to a factory farm. It is chilling for anybody. I've been to an egg farm. Oh. With 10 million birds at a facility in Iowa. 10 million. There are 3 million people in all of Iowa. There were 10 million birds at this one facility. They were jammed in cages. They could barely move. So, you know, people may be in denial about it, or they may try to make fun of it, but I think it's embarrassing for them to do so, because the rational argument all leads to a compassionate concern. You know, whether you come at this from a biblical perspective in terms of God's creation, or you come at this from our traditions in our Western democracy, you know, we care for the weak and the vulnerable in our society, and animals are powerful.
Yeah, but I've heard people, I've been known to be an animal rights guy since I started in radio, and I've talked about the money that I've given and raised for the elephants and the gorillas, et cetera, and the chimps. I've had people on this side of the political aisle mock me, saying that, oh, he's really a liberal because he's into animal rights. Do they not understand how foolish they sound?
It's foolish. It's foolish. I don't think anyone could logically call you a liberal because you have compassion for creatures who depend on our mercy. And again, you know, who's the one rational and who's the one...
Well put, man. You are good. Wayne, are you sure you weren't a divinity student?
I believe in this stuff, and I've thought about it a long time, and I've been to these places, Mike. I've been to puppy mills. I've been to animal fighting rings. I've been to factory farms. Oh. And it's not an abstraction for me. It's real. And it's a real...
Wayne, I've told the story on the Savage Nation before. In the years I was a plant collector in the Fiji Islands, I went into a slaughterhouse in a very small village in Viti Levu. You know, I have never forgotten the sound of those animals and the look in their eyes as they were being led down to slaughter, and they turned back and looked at their fellow cows and cried out to them. Do you know that?
Listen, I hear you. You know, but for the grace of God, You know that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. If you have compassion and you can project yourself into a suffering human being, it's not a long step to project yourself into a suffering cat, dog, or a cow. But you watch them. They know they're going to die. They defecate. They start to scream. And they turn around and they yell to their friend what's coming. I saw it all. It's a piece of consciousness that is hard to remove, by the way, once you see that.
I think it's a courageous statement that you make. I think you're right. And I've heard people, you know, offer the alternate view. And typically it's not a reasoned argument. It's frankly an emotional argument from those people because they don't want to confront the reality of a very tough...
Wayne, you mean the people who say they don't feel anything, they're just animals, that statement?
Just ignorant. I mean, that's just ignorant. But people who...
Well, let me tell you, when I had my first child in the hippie era, do you know what some of the hippie professors said? When a child would reflect an emotion, they'd say, the child's not reflecting an emotion. They have no emotions. It's purely reflexive. That's how far some people had gone in denying the emotions, never mind of animals, but of infants. They claimed infants had no feelings, that they were all reflexive emotions. I've heard it all, Wayne. I've heard it all. So your book, The Humane Economy, Wayne Pacelle, P-A-C-E-L-L-E, what is the purpose of the book? If you would say a book. What is it about?
The purpose is really to point out that doing the right thing for animals, for us as individuals, for businesses in our society, for the whole of society, is not a sacrifice. It's not going to cost us profits. It's actually going to enhance us as human beings. It's going to make us better, kinder, more merciful people. It's going to be an opportunity for business because those businesses that have animal cruelty baked into the business model, they're the ones who are going to face boycotts and lawsuits and brand threats. You know, SeaWorld didn't end its breeding of orcas because, you know, they just suddenly stopped doing that. It's because millions of consumers were concerned about the treatment of orcas. Walmart didn't stop buying...
I got to go to... Wayne, I'm sorry. I could talk with you for hours. I highly recommend the book, The Humane Economy by Wayne Pacelle, P-A-C-E-L-L-E. Wayne, keep up the phenomenal work that you do inside the Humane Society of the United States. And thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, it's a potpourri show today. I mean, I have many different topics. I'm not stuck. You turn on Fox, it's all day long the same thing. Same thing. Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz. How much of the primary can you take? I can take no more. Once a week, is that not enough for you? How much do you want from that? So I've done other things. And I don't want to repeat the topics. I'm going to take some calls, which will bring you up to speed of where I am at. So let's begin with San Francisco horror stories. Line 4, Ken on KSFO. Go ahead, fire away.
Hey, Michael, Dr. Savage, my wife and I were in the city, and we're with our kids. We're in Washington Square Park, and it was the middle of the day, gorgeous day, and there was a homeless woman on the bench, on the edge of the bench, and another homeless man was right in front of her, and he kind of opens up his jacket and approaches her, and it's obvious that she was going to perform oral on him, and I saw it, and I said, oh, what are you doing? And the lady kind of pulled back from him and looks at the guy and says, I told you someone would see us. And in that same day...
Well, you better tell Nancy Pelosi about the couple, see if they can find them and give them the San Francisco Civic Award, because she would consider that San Francisco values.
Well, that's very...
She went to the leather parade a few years ago and said, oh, yeah, men whipping each other naked in the streets is perfectly fine. So to her, this might be worthy of a Civic Award. Welcome to San Francisco. This is the Savage Nation. Live from San Francisco. Back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And back again to The Savage Nation. So let's begin with a caller. David on WABC Line 9, what's your point? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted you to know that Ted Cruz mentioned you the other day. He was here maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm a pastor in New York, and they held a meeting with pastoral meetings invited by State Senator Ruben Diaz in a Chinese-Cuban restaurant, a very small restaurant. I was surprised it was so small. Anyway, Ted Cruz said, I hope you're all, you know, Ted Cruz supporters, and it so happened that I was the only one that wasn't. I didn't know I had to be a supporter. But when he asked me, I said, I'm a Donald, you know, with all due respect, Senator, I'm a Donald Trump supporter. And then he said, like, jokingly, well, I guess you're also a Michael Savage fan. And I said, well, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I have all his books except the one with Teddy and him. I'm waiting for that one.
And I'm giving you one. That's an interesting comment for a couple of reasons, because I tried to get Ted Cruz on the show. Long before the election, he would never come on the show. Never. It's interesting that he knows the show. He interestingly referred to it, and yet for some reason he's intimidated by it. He shouldn't be, because I treat all of my guests as guests in my home. I never get malicious with my guests, ever.
Yeah, I think he...
Well, that's good. So you're going to get a... No, that's interesting. He didn't even say it with derision, did he?
I think he did. I think he feels like you're, you know... bonded with Donald Trump, and you know, he has but
well, no, I understand that, but did he say, when he mentioned my name, did he say it with derision? Was there a derisive tone in his voice?
Yes, there was.
There were. Oh, okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, now I don't like him.
Yes, there
so was. What is a Chinese, I'm just joking, what's a Chinese Cuban restaurant? What is that? Instead of serving ketchup suey, they serve what?
Well, it's basically Chinese food with a Cuban flavor.
Oh my God! I mean, isn't Hunan food like that? Is it with hot sauce?
Well, I always when I go there, I always have like the steak with Chinese rice.
I happen to like Cuban food. When I'm in Florida, there's a couple of Cuban restaurants, and I like Cuban food. You know, the lunch plates are astounding. I don't particularly like that sweet potato thing that they do, the plantain. That's too sugary for me. But everything else, I enjoy a lot. Hey, my friend, I'm sending you Teddy and Me. That's the book you're dying for, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm waiting for that one, yeah.
Hold on. What if I send an extra copy for the next time Ted Cruz comes around looking for a vote? But no, he's through with New York, right? Oh. He found that the New York values line didn't help him very much.
Absolutely. I don't think he likes New York at all.
Really? Is that what you felt?
Oh, yes. He's not into New York.
Well, I don't know why. I don't know why Canadians generally like to come to New York. I don't understand it. It's a joke. Okay. Stay on the line. Teddy and Me goes out to you on the Savage Nation. Harriet Tubman will replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill was our first topic today. I said, what other woman would you put on if you were asked to do so? Because Obama, again, is acting like the king. Where do these decisions get made? Oh, I see. It's an executive decision. Yeah, just take a guy like a founding father off a $20 bill because you want to. Well, why shouldn't we have a national poll on it? Put out 10 names and let people decide what person should go on the $20 bill. I'll pull out bills out of my pocket right now. I don't know who's on the bills. I know when my father was around, I'd ask him for Franklin's. I don't know what's on a Franklin, but here I have a $20 bill. Who is that guy with the white hair? He looks a little, looks like he belongs in a strange district of San Francisco. Who is this guy? He's a real fop. Who is Jackson? There's Jackson. Taking him off the bill. What are they bouncing him to? A lead cent. Okay. Taking him off a 20. I only have 20s today. Which eight guys with like, Washington's only on a dollar bill. He, founding father. Here, like a tenner. What's on a tenner? Hamilton. How do you know all this, Ryan? Hamilton, another one with the floppy hair and the cravat. He's on a 10. I got only one of the denominations, a fiver. Old Linky. How come they don't take Lincoln off? Why doesn't Obama take Lincoln off the five? Why is he picking on a 20? What does he have against this guy? No, that's an interesting question unto itself. Why is he taking Hamilton off the $20 bill? Can anyone explain that to me? Jackson, rather. Why is Obama picking on Jackson? That's the more interesting question, by the way. It's not about who he's putting on. It's about who he's taking off. Why is he erasing Andrew Stonewall Jackson from the $20 bill? Is there a historian in the crowd? And we're talking about meat, vegan, this, that. KSFO, Cliff, line 7, what's your topic, please?
Yeah, it'll be humane slaughter of animals. And what I understand is happening is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is overlooking what's called halal slaughter and also kosher slaughter in the name of religious freedom. It's been shown that these types of slaughter are inhumane by a group from Iowa State University Veterinary School many, many years ago, that this is inhumane, that it's too slow, and an abomination for this country to allow this to go on. And I want the people that listen to you.
That's a very intriguing, that's a very, very interesting point that you raise. And I cannot really address it intelligently because I don't know what's entailed with kosher or halal slaughter. I know what it alleges to be, which is to be more humane. You're not supposed to use a serrated knife. You're supposed to slaughter the animal quickly. That's why it's not supposed to be serrated. You're supposed to make a quick cut and let the animal bleed out. I get that. But what you are alleging is that that's not what's actually going on. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, the bleeding out is too slow. Consciousness is lost too slowly so that there is, suffering. Our suffering is allowed.
So how is machine execution done in American slaughterhouse? What do they put a nail in the head? The poor cow goes down a line and boom, a nail is in the head from a pneumatic gun. That's what they do, don't they?
Exactly. In a box.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it in that Fiji slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
They use a nail gun and the cow's head can't move. When it comes to that point where it's going to die, it's bang. And that's like a nail gun in the head. The legs go right out from under it. And within 3 seconds, they're cutting it to pieces while it's alive. Do you know that?
Exactly. Well, it's not alive. It is stunned unconscious. So it's just like surgery done on it, right?
I don't know. I had a guy just wrote me, said he was going to go out to a steak dinner, and now he can't eat the steak tonight. He's nauseous from it. He could have a tofu steak instead.
Exactly. I'm not saying.
Are you a vegetarian yourself?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But every time I sit down to a dinner like that, I think twice. And like the guy from the Humane Society said, we can just nip at it one day at a time, you know, and see what we can get done here.
Well, when you sit down to eat meat, do you think of the animal? Do you ever think of the animal that was the meat?
I think of the slaughterhouse that I saw where the animals were stunned and then Jack hoisted up and...
Where did you go into a slaughterhouse? What was the occasion that brought... That's not a normal occurrence. How did... What'd you go there for?
I'm a veterinarian, okay? We went on a field...
Oh, that's awful. I got palpitations just thinking about it.
Yes.
No, I don't... Look, I'm a strange guy. I mean, I can be pretty, let's say, hard when I have to be. But I'll tell you the truth. If a fly comes in my house, I will go out of my way to try and shoo it out of the house rather than squash it.
Yeah.
I don't step on step on spiders. God created them for a reason, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I've heard you say this before, and, you know, I cannot disagree. I won't take a position one way or another. Yeah, I'm not going to say. But that said, this halal business, this is, and kosher as well, is...
Yes, and by the way, a lot of it's fake, by the way. I got to tell you the truth. A lot of it is a bunch of nonsense. It's said to be this and that, but it's just a front for charging more money to people who think that they're eating according to their religious laws. There's not much of a difference in so many cases. You know that.
Yeah. Well, why do we, taxpayers who are supporting this, this is done under the auspices of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They go around to these...
No, I hear you. I think it's long overdue. that Bernie Sanders look into the inequality of animal slaughter. I'm joking. I almost fell into a Bernie Sanders riff.
But okay,
thanks for the call. So I assume since you're a veterinarian, you'd love a copy of Teddy and Me. Is that correct?
By the way, they held boxing matches at the Cow Palace in the 50s.
What do you mean? You mean years back?
Boxing matches were in the first novel about San Francisco and the Golden Gate, and you mentioned the Cow Palace. The one thing you forgot was that they have boxing matches at the Cow Palace. And I got to one in 1958.
Wow, you go back a long way. Are you a native San Franciscan?
Yes.
So you're a real oddball. You're in a real minority.
Yes.
You know, people don't know that this was once a very, 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 shall I say, straight and narrow city. Is that correct?
Yes, from what I understand. Don't forget the guys on the wharf down there, you know, and all the Shanghai and stuff like that. This was a rough place. It was certainly not what it is now.
How did it become such a haven of deviancy? How did it become such a sicko city?
I don't know. I really don't. I guess it started with the hippies and the Haight-Ashbury business, and then it's somehow really...
But why do they represent San Francisco any more than the church-going folks of the city, whether they be Chinese, Italian, of Italian ancestry, or Irish, of whom there are still a large number of people who grew up here who are not the way of the hippie? Why don't they represent San Francisco? How did it come that everyone caters to the sickos?
Yeah, I don't know. Because people like Nancy Pelosi with all the money.
Yeah, how does she go to a leather parade on one of those days on Folsom Street where men whip each other naked on a cart in front of the public, even children they bring, and she says that's perfectly fine, San Francisco values. Is that the answer? All right, what can I say? You want Government Zero or Teddy and Me?
Government Zero.
See, again, even a veterinarian doesn't want the book. Okay, you get Government Zero. It's a great, great political book. It truly is. It should be in every living room, especially before the next election. Oh, God, I got a call, and now I don't even want to take. Robert, can I take one more now or after? Quickly. Okay, guys, I asked for San Francisco horror stories. Line 4, Allison from WMAL in Washington, D.C. Tell it, because I can't believe what you're about to say.
Oh, well, I stayed at the Intercontinental Hotel when I was in San Francisco for a business meeting. There's a park right across the street. My husband and I went out for a walk, and the gentleman pulled his pants down and defecated right in front of us.
You know, I could say something sarcastic, but I'd rather say something violent. And since I cannot say anything violent on the show, I will take a quick break. Thanks for the call.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, yeah, Friday is Earth Day. You know, what is that? Like a bunch of garb, Earth Day. Who doesn't love the Earth? What idiot do you? It's like holier than thou. I love all the bumper stickers in San Francisco. Keep Tahoe blue. No, I want to make it green. I want to make it brown. Who do I? I know anybody wants to pollute Lake Tahoe. The holier than thou bumper stickers. Keep Tahoe blue. Like somebody wants to poison Tahoe. Not one word from the libs about the murder, the slaughter, the mayhem by the Taliban about the Islamofascists. Nothing. Keep Tahoe blue. Then Friday you're going to be beaten up about Earth Day. Well, you know my motto, my new one, from Earth Day to Girth Day in one generation. Now, who would you put on the Andrew Jackson? First of all, I wouldn't take Andrew Jackson off the bill, for one. They're calling him a racist now, you hear? Now he's a racist. On what basis was Jackson a racist? I believe Washington had slaves as well, by the way. So see, what I want to know is why Jackson? At that time, it was a horrible practice, but I'm sorry to tell you, you can take them all off the bills and replace them. I guess Obama would like to be on the $20 bill. Then the $20 bill will become worth about $4 by today's inflation rates. But in all seriousness, who would you put on if you were replacing Jackson on a 20? I said Amelia Earhart. Others have had other names. It's kind of boring, though. But don't call me on that. No, I don't want to go back to that. Rip that story up. I covered it already. I'm ripping it up here. all the other stories, deal with all the other topics. I'd rather hear about San Francisco horror stories from visitors. Oh, here's a terrible one. Line four, Tom, what happened to you?
I was leaving for surgery from the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. The cab driver that we had wouldn't even load my suitcase in his trunk. I had to get up, get the suitcase when I got to the hospital. Later, when I was in the hospital, when I was coming through surgery and in recovery, there was a commotion.
Broke it up? It's like the Sopranos in the Pines. What happened? His phone broke up. I wish I could hear. What happened to you, Tom?
Well,
nothing, a breakup job. Can't hear him. It's a broken up cell phone. This is what I call it. Terrific. It happens. Poor guy. He said the cab driver stalked his wife while he came out of surgery. You hear? Well, that's San Francisco values, Tom. That's what Nancy Pelosi prides herself on. Parades with whips. Naked people beating each other up on floats. That's what it is. Those are San Francisco values. Ted Cruz ought to talk about it when he comes out here to run against Trump.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I just saw our president just bop down into Saudi Arabia. Busy guy. Cuba. South America. Back to change the $20 bill. Bopping off to Saudi Arabia. In the middle of Saudi tensions in the Middle East. He sits down with the king and they're sitting and talking with... And as they walk from the airplane, I noticed, since in Saudi Arabia it's a custom to have, they put their hands on their stomach over their, like their male burkas. I take a look. There's Obama putting his hands over his abdomen, marching with a business suit. He is the zealot of every country he goes to. Unbelievable. They sat and talked about it. You know, they're trying to pin the 9/11 on Saudi Arabia. I don't know why they would do that, since 18 of the 20 hijackers were Saudi. I don't understand that. Where would anyone come up with something as crazy as that? Where would anyone come up with the madness to think that Saudi Arabia had anything to do with 9/11? Just because they exported Wahhabism to the world? The most virulent form of Islam to have ever hit the world? No. So they're sitting and talking, and you see the pictures tonight on the TV. They're showing it on Fox. And there they are, they're sitting and talking. So he brings it up. Look, there's a lot of turmoil in my country. People think that's something. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to them. No, don't be kidding. Become nice people here in the oil business. It's a Zionist. It's Zionist putting that out. You want? Maybe you want hummus? You want a little? Give the president some fries with the hummus. Maybe you like some French fries. You want some? No, I don't want any. I'm here to talk about the Saudi arrangement. Possible relationship. No, don't be kidding. It's the Zionists in the news business who came up with that one. You want some halva? Maybe you want a sweet? Something sweet. Give the president something sweet. But then you look at the Fox News line up there in the afternoon opposite me in this time frame. I got no competition whatsoever. Where did they get this Geraldo Rivera? Is it not time for him to retire with that mustache? I'm sorry. I don't mind a mustache, but this is there's something... let me put it in another way. I don't know the guy, but anyone who curls their mustache on the ends is a little bit... something wrong there. I don't like it. It's creepy looking, especially around women. Women, let me ask you something. If you're in a bar, you see a guy with a mustache that's curled on the end, do you say anything to them? If they talk to you, do you answer them? No. Why is he on Fox with a curled up mustache still in this day and age? And then the girls on Fox, God bless them, one sits and says nothing. She moves the shoe around, the high heel up and down, and doesn't say a word. She looks like an angry housewife who's ready to attack. So all she can do now, watch out for a woman, by the way, when she's moving that shoe on the end of her foot and saying nothing, you better get out of there pretty quick. The one in the middle is very good looking. I don't even know who she is, but she doesn't move the shoe around. I don't get it. Why does one move the shoe? She gets like shotgun every day with the green dress, with the shoe in the leg. The other one who is inherently, I'm not knocking the other, inherently prettier in face, but you don't see the leg and shoe. I got to talk to Murdoch about that the next time I don't meet him. my friends, life is a joke if only you understood it. You know, life is a joke if you actually cleanse the doors of perception. You cleanse your doors of perception because I can't. I don't know how to cleanse my doors of perception. Blake wrote that if you cleanse the doors of perception, you will see life as it is, infinite. No thank you. I'd rather have some opaqueness into eternity, if you don't mind. That's a joke for those who read at all. All right, get back to work. Don't say anything too esoteric. That's not conservative enough. KSFO, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation, Line 7.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, gone already? Yeah, Steve, what's on your mind?
Me. Thank you for having me. I have a San Francisco horror story.
Oh, go ahead. Sure. San Francisco horror story. Fire away.
Yes, sir. Okay, I have two very close relatives of mine that are in the police department here in the city. And the drug situation in San Francisco is absolutely horrible. One of the worst stories I ever heard is 4 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold during the wintertime. One of the cops I know makes a call to Hemlock Alley off Polk Street. You know the city. You know where that is. And there's a man.
Yes, sir.
Naked, freezing cold, having sex with a caution cone. High on methamphetamine.
Well, no, wait a minute, hold on. Was it an underage caution cone?
City. Yes.
What, was it an underage caution cone? Because if it wasn't, it's legal in San Francisco to have sex with a caution cone if it's over a certain period of age.
Well, the real problem, doctor, is methamphetamine.
Well, look, in San Francisco, it doesn't matter if it was a male caution cone or a female caution cone. All that matters is whether it was an underage caution cone. Come on. Did he arrest them for having sex with a caution cone? Is that illegal in San Francisco?
They were arrested, of course.
No, I don't know. I don't. In this city, I'm surprised. You better not talk about this because, as I say, Nancy Pelosi is liable to give him a key to the city for this.
Well,
that's a true San Francisco value. Not being a patriot, not loving America, those are not San Francisco values. You're ostracized in this city by Ms. Pelosi if you love the country too much. What, sex with a caution cone? First of all, he might be up for a Heroes Award. Would you say, how cold was it?
Yeah, freezing.
You said it was cold in the middle. The guy he was that strong that in the middle of the night it's cold and he had sex with a caution cone? And it could name the tunnel for him next time instead of Robin Williams. They could change it from Robin Williams to a guy who had sex with a caution cone at 4 in the morning. Yeah, it's a laughing matter because otherwise you could lose your mind. Thanks for the call. It was breaking up. What was the popping and driving me crazy that I didn't blow a fuse? Now we're going to go into pot in the slaughterhouse. I don't know if I can handle it. Pot and slaughterhouse calls. I don't know. I'm not into it. I think what I'm going to do is this. Hold on. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for your listening pleasure. For those of you who want. Nah, I don't know. The print is too small. Can't do it. I'm going to do that. No. Earth Day, is Earth Day really about green? No, Earth Day is really about red. I'll tell you why when I come back on Friday, but I'm going to be here tomorrow, so why talk about it on Friday? So here are some afternoon headlines on the Savage Nation. I know the problem. I put on my distance glasses and everything was blurry. I thought I was having a minor stroke. These are the glasses I can read with. Savage Nation afternoon headlines. Iran vows serious reaction if the U.S. violates the nuke deal. Okay. In other words, that's backwards. Harvard law activists demand free tuition as a matter of racial justice. What? How's that work? Is tuition racist? I was a poor kid. I had to pay tuition. I didn't consider it racist. I considered that was the price of going to college. I had to work a few jobs, but I guess nobody wants to work their way through college anymore. Now they want to work college through them. A group of Harvard Law School activists are demanding the graduate school do away with tuition fees, which they argue are racially biased. Oh, come on. Must everything be sold as racial? So if you go into a car dealer and you want to buy a new Mercedes, let's say expensive one, and you say to the guy, I only have money for a C-Class, but I insist you give me the S-Class. The guy says, I'm sorry, you have to pay the extra 30 grand for it. No, it's a racial differential because I can't afford the S-Class. Because if I had started earlier in life with a better father, I would be buying an S-Class right now. You could argue that's racially, too. So where does this end? I want to know where does this end. The answer is never. Mandy on line one on KSFO, what's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I just want to say two things. You saved me from smoking pot. I actually quit because of you. And that was when you made the George Soros connection. And I really don't like that guy, and that's why I quit.
Oh, hold it. Let me repeat this, because in 2007, actually it was 1997, I think, I argued with a front group for the Soros group when they were trying to push medical marijuana in Arizona and California. He was the first one to push the legalization of marijuana under the medical guise. And I tried to give him the medical facts and he wouldn't accept it. Is that, that's probably what you're referring to, right?
Yes, it is. So anything that has to do with Soros, like, I just really want to stay away from that. And so that's
when did you stop smoking pot? How long ago?
I stopped about 2 years ago. Because you bring it up from
okay,
time.
So I don't want to lead you on, but do you find your life has improved?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I mean, I hear
a reluctance. So in other words, you miss a little bit of the marijuana, huh?
Relaxes me, you know, whatever. But I drink whiskey now.
Mandy, how many years were you a pothead?
I started smoking pot when I was 13. I'm 39 now.
And how old? Oh, that's a long time. So it's going to be in your circuitry for a long time. You're going to have cravings for years and years and years to come. You've got to understand that. Ask anyone who's addicted to anything. Whether it had been alcohol, sex, marijuana, methamphetamine, the circuitry is established and you're going to always crave it. But what you have to do is say, I'm craving it, but I can't have it. It's like craving chocolate when you're a diabetic. Say, well, I'm sorry, if I eat it, I'm going to get sick. And you know, that's an interesting way to break any addiction, which is to say, you know, there's a lot of things I'd like and I can't have. And you have to like convert it in your head. So would you like a copy of Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
Government Zero.
You got it. Stay on the line. I'll be back. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice. Nobody should be given delegates, which is a ticket to victory, and it's not a fair ticket. And even though we're leading by a lot and we can't be caught, it's impossible to catch us. Nobody should take delegates and claim victory unless they get those delegates with voters and voting. And you watch, because the people aren't going to stand for it. It's a crooked system. It's a system that's rigged. And we're going to go back to the old way. It's called you vote and you win.
That's a clear statement. You know what I love is the news media. Last night, right as they saw he was winning, they tried to run it down already. It got me so angry. I got so angry. About the twisting they were doing. They were trying to say, oh, look, he says it's a rigged system. Now that he won, how come he's not saying it's rigged? Well, because that was an open vote, moron. He's referring to rigged in states where it was rigged, you schmendrick, you. What, you gotta be a genius to figure it out? He didn't say it was true. When he lost in a state where the people voted, he didn't complain. Not once. When he lost in a state where the people didn't vote, that's when he said it's rigged. And you know that. Don't pretend you're a conservative when you're twisting the truth itself. That's all. FAA just grounded Donald Trump's jet. This is news. No more flying. FAA grounds Donald Trump's jet. Someone's going to get fired. The Cessna citation on which Trump sometimes uses to fly around on campaigns has been grounded. It can't fly. Because of a serious paperwork problem. According to records obtained by the ultra-liberal New York Times, of course, this they report on, not on Michelle Obama's Air Force One, the two Air Force Ones to South America. This is their problem. According to records obtained by the New York Times, the Cessna jet has been flying with an expired registration for nearly 2 months. So they said that you can't use it anymore. All right. Tail number N725DT. They said Cessna, that means Cessna citation, if it's a jet. Now, of course, it's not going to stop him. That's for the small markets, the Cessna citation. It's a lot less to fly by the hour than his big jet. He has a B-757-200. That's a huge one. Boeing 757-200, which seats 42, and two helicopters. Okay, so he was using the small Cessna citation into small markets. Big deal. The registration expired. That's a news story to them. So now Obama's in Saudi Arabia, and I think he went there to try and smooth the ruffled feathers with those guys over there, those nice Wahhabists. And they're Wahhabists, by the way, not Wahhabiists. I think it's Wahhabists. Many people don't know who Wahhaba is. They don't want to have to know who he is. He disseminated terrorism around the world with his sect of Islam. You know, the other day I was in a restaurant. I ran into, again, a restaurant, me with food. What can I do? I'm a human being. Guy comes running up, Moroccan guy. Michael. I hadn't seen him in a year because he left the restaurant I don't go to anymore. He said, you remember me? I said, of course. How could I forget the only Moroccan I ever met? So he laughed. He was a nice guy. He said, I heard you refer to me on the radio a few times as the Moroccan. I said, what should I call you? So he laughed and he said, you know, we talked about Muslims and he said, where I come from in Morocco, he said, Jews and Christians and Muslims got along for hundreds of years. He said, this insanity only started rather recently. I said, no kidding. And it all started because Saudi Arabia, my friends, has been exporting a virulently hateful sect of Islam called Wahhabism. Look it up. That's the true poison. So if you say, is Saudi Arabia involved in terrorism? Yeah. Sure, maybe they ought to look into stopping exporting this sect of Islam, which tells them to conquer and slaughter, you know. Now, you want to get into the 9/11 conspiracy? Were they involved? What do I know? I know that, what, 18 out of the 20 hijackers were Saudi? What does that tell you? Probably more than you want to know. And moreover, why should you care at this point? As Hillary Clinton famously said, what difference does it make after all? Do you really care whether they were involved or not? What do you want Obama to do, by the way? Again, let's go to the purists who say, yeah, well, Saudi Arabia is no good. We want them, it pinned on them. Why? What are you going to get from it? You want another war now with another country? What do you want to happen with this? You have to follow through on your statements. What would you like to happen? Now, I understand why this is becoming a big issue. It's because the families of 9/11 victims would like to sue Saudi Arabia. This is all a legalistic ploy, truth or not truth, it doesn't matter, in order to find someone who says, I'm sorry. Then once they apologize, you can sue them. Don't you know how the game works? Haven't you ever seen the radicals, what they do? All we want is an apology. The next day, the shyster lawyer brings a lawsuit. So never apologize for something you didn't do. I can warn you about that if you're a business person. Because they're not looking just for an apology. They're looking for that as a pretext to sue you. Same with Saudi Arabia. That's all. They want to sue Saudi Arabia, which isn't such a bad idea, but there is a but. There is a but. What happens to oil prices? You like paying a few dollars a gallon for gas, now you want to pay $12 a gallon. You'd like to stop pumping? I mean, what do you want to happen here? I don't think people think these things through. I do. That's what they pay me for. So now let's play a little bit more. This is a beauty. I've been saving this one. Oh, no. Here's a pro-immigration bishop, the first female Latina bishop, telling Congress that the U.S. has raped Central America, which is why we have to accept every refugee that wants to come here. Can you imagine? Yeah, you can imagine. Maybe you ought to change the $20 bill to her name. Change it to Bishop Carcano. Take the $2 bill and change it to Bishop Carcano. See if I care. Everyone's got a grievance, except me. I have no grievances whatsoever. I'm Michael Savage. Thanks for listening.
Savage.